Welcome to The Spiritual Rabbit Hole, a podcast with spiritual mediums Glenda, Kristen, and Nicole.
Join us as we tap into the spiritual realm, explore the mysteries of the universe, and guide you on a journey of self-discovery.
Get ready to open your mind and connect with something greater than yourself. Let's dive into The Spiritual Rabbit Hole.
What's up, guys? Welcome.
Hello.
Hey, everyone.
So our last episode was about crystal healing. We talked about various types of crystals and their formation, their geological origins, crystal colors, and healing properties and other things. But so go ahead and listen to that also.
Yeah. But today we're going to talk all about astrology. And this episode will help you learn about a valuable resource that can help you truly get to know yourself and even help you find direction and purpose. We're going to discuss zodiac signs, birth charts, planetary placements, and more. So let's get started.
Yeah. So astrology, an ancient practice found across many different cultures, explores how the positions of celestial bodies, and this includes the moon, the sun, and the planets, and how they impact our lives. Its appeal throughout the centuries lies in its ability to offer personal insights and a sense of connection to something greater than ourselves. From ancient civilizations to today's pop culture, astrology has shaped our understanding of the world and ourselves, providing a framework for navigating life's mysteries.
Yeah.
Yeah, so whether you're a casual horoscope reader or deep curious about the cosmos, astrology offers a unique lens through which to explore your identity and life path. Examining your birth charts reveals hidden truth about your personalities.
You might have multiple.
Maybe. We don't know. Hey. Relationships and future possibilities. Join us as we dive into the fascinating world of astrology, exploring history, practical applications, and enduring relevance in modern lives.
Yes. So we're first going to talk about the zodiac signs. The zodiac signs serve as the foundation of astrology and represent different characteristics of human nature and experiences. Each sign is associated with specific personality traits, tendencies, and symbolism. And each sign is also influenced by its corresponding element, which we'll discuss further, but those are fire, earth, air, and water, and their ruling planet. But let's start with the 12 signs.
The first zodiac sign is Aries. So you are an Aries if you are born between the dates of March 21st through April 19th. And I'm an Aries. Hello to my fellow Aries out there. Shout out to you. The next one is Taurus, and you would be born between April 20th and May 20th. Next is Gemini, and that would be from May 21st through June 20th. The next one is Cancer, and that is from June 21st through July 22nd.
Yep, and the next one would be Leo, if you were born between July 23rd to August 22nd. And Virgo, which is me. If you were born between August 23rd to September 22nd. And then Libra.
That's burr, burr, burr.
Yeah. Oh, I should have done a burr, burr, burr for mine, I guess. I missed that memo.
If you're Libra, the dates will be September 23rd to October 22nd. And Scorpio, October 23rd, November 21st.
Yes. And the last four zodiac signs are Sagittarius, and those are the people who are born between November 22nd and December 21st. Capricorn is the sign for those born between December 22nd and January 19th. Aquarius is January 20th through February 18th. And Pisces is the final zodiac sign. And the birth dates for Pisces is February 19th through March 20th. Now, these are the sun signs, and we'll explain a little bit more about the difference between the different signs, but these are the most common signs that people talk about. And please note that these dates can actually vary a little bit depending on the year because of how the astrological system is used and how the celestial bodies are always changing position.
Mm. Yeah.
And isn't there something too with like if you're a cusper, like if your birthday is right on the cusp of, you know, between one sign and the other, you can take on a little bit of traits from each.
Oh, yeah. 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 Like if you're, say, the beginning date of a, like Scorpio is October 23rd. If you're born October 22nd, even October 21st, you can take on traits of Libra, which is the sign prior to Scorpio, and Scorpio. And it just depends. That's why you have to look further into your chart, because sun sign is just one aspect of your personality. So it's this is just like a vague.
It's very vague. Like, this is just a westernized. This is actually the westernized astrology that we're talking about. So there's different kind of astrologies. Because they're like the Vedic and
I was going to say whatnot. The Vedic.
Those are different. Yeah. And then there's also an extra, I forget what's his name. It's Sarah O. It's an extra
month or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you explore the concept of there being 13 months, there's actually a 13th zodiac sign. So that's where things get confusing. But we're not going into that today because just going to overcomplicate things.
But it was very good to note.
Yes.
So they can look it up if they'd like. I feel like I fit Aries to the T. So like you can move it all you want. I'm one through and through. You know, my daughter always laughs when she reads about Aries. She's like, yep, stubborn, yep.
You know? Well, you're kind of smack right in the middle. You're not near any kind of cusp.
No.
Either. You're in the heart of Aries.
Yeah, I am. I'm Aries through and through. Okay. So in astrology, the elements fire, earth, air, and water represent fundamental energies that shape the 12 zodiac signs and influence your personality traits, behaviors, or your experiences. So fire signs are Aries, which is me again, Leo, and Sagittarius. And they're characterized by passion, energy, and enthusiasm, symbolizing creativity, initiative, and spontaneity.
Oh, spontaneity for sure.
Oh, yeah. I got that today with my husband. I had moved all his books on my bookshelf behind, but I had no plan on like where anything would go. I just like moved everything. And he's like, that's kind of impulsive. And no forethought. We just move everything. So that makes sense.
Yeah. So our next signs will be the earth signs, Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. These are grounded, practical, and dependable, representing stability, productivity, and material concern.
Does that sound like you, Glenda? Because you're definitely an earth sign.
Does.
Yeah.
Very dependable, very grounded. Always, always, always. Another element is air. So our air signs are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. They are intellectual, communicative, and social. And they embody curiosity, diplomacy, and innovation. I'm always asking questions.
I think that fits you.
Yeah, it does to a T.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love it.
I'm definitely an air. That's why you see me in my backyard, Superman pose, when the wind is blowing. I just embrace that wind like crazy.
That is funny. Although, you know, it's funny. I'm not really drawn to fire itself. But G is. Aren't you drawn to fire? Even though you're earth sign, you're very drawn to it.
I'm
not very drawn to earth.
Water, too, I think, for me.
Well, see, and that's the thing is, like, if you explore your full birth chart.
I have a ton of fire.
And you look at where all your planets are. And you really look at, like, you pay attention to, because each of the planets are in different zodiac signs. And each zodiac sign is an element, right? And then you start to count how many of each element is in your chart.
I have 17 fires.
You have a better
fires.
Idea.
Yeah.
So, you need some water.
I need water.
You need water.
Which is funny because I love blues and grays. I could not have a warm color on my wall, like a red or something. I couldn't. I couldn't do that. I need the cooling.
And I think that's an aspect of it that people don't really think about is when you have a lot of something in your chart, it doesn't. It's like chakras. It doesn't necessarily mean that's what you need more of.
Yeah.
You need to find balance in your chart. So if you have a lot of fire, you're going to want to bring in the opposite, which is water, right? If you want to nurture that fire and help the fire grow, you might want to bring in air because air you're nodding your head no. And I'm like,
no, need water.
But yeah, or like if you have a lot of earth in your chart and you want to nurture that earth, you want to bring in water. You know, like looking at it in that way, how they pair up.
Yeah.
But it also helps you have an idea of like who you work best with and who you would have good relationships with. But you have to look at the entire chart, not just the sun sign.
You guys so were very balanced, really, weren't you? With yours, with your elements, weren't you guys balanced? If I can remember correctly when we talked about it.
I have a lot of air and water. I don't have a lot of earth.
Oh, okay. Well,
or fire.
And you always say to ground.
So I lie. So I have four. I'm looking at my chart right now. I have four water signs. Mm-hmm. I have three air. I have three fire and three earth. So yeah, kind of balanced.
Kind of balanced. Yeah. Hey, I thought you were kind of similar too. Maybe I'm remembering wrong.
I think I am.
I don't have your chart.
No. Well, it's still interesting, though, you know, how that influences.
Definitely. Yeah. So when you do look up your chart, or if you've had a chart done, and really taking those things into consideration when you're looking it over. And don't worry, we'll tell you some places where you can get a free chart online, so it'll be easy for you to kind of look it over. Yeah. But there's one more element we haven't talked about yet.
Water.
Ding, 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 ding. That's correct.
Yes. So Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces are all water signs, and mm-hmm. they are intuitive, emotional, and sensitive, reflecting depth, empathy, and adaptability.
Yep.
That makes sense for a couple Pisces that I know.
So now we're going to talk about qualities. In astrology, the qualities, also known as modalities, of cardinals, fixed and mutable signs are used to categorize the zodiac signs based on their characteristics and approach to change and adaptation.
Yes. Hmm. So Kristen and I are both cardinal signs, and cardinal signs include Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn.
Yeah.
And they are known for their initiative, their leadership, and their ability to initiate change, mm-hmm. like you wanting to take the stuff off the shelf, right?
Yeah.
So they mark the beginning of each season and are associated with action, ambition, and drive. Cardinal signs are often seen as catalysts for new beginnings and tend to be dynamic and assertive.
So fixed signs are Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius, and they're characterized by stability, determination, and persistence. They represent the middle of each season and are associated with reliability, loyalty, and a strong sense of purpose. Fixed signs are known for their steadfastness and resistance to change, preferring stability and consistency.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, people with these signs, a lot of these signs in their chart or as a main sign in their chart, are not huge fans of
change.
Change. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to like, how do I say this nicely?
Change.
Yeah, they don't like change. So if mm-hmm. you, and that's okay. That's okay. It just might be take a little bit more time mm-hmm. for them mm-hmm. to process change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and our last one will be mutable signs. These are Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. Are flexible, adaptable, and versatile. They mark the end of each season and are associated with change, versatility, and the willingness to adjust to new circumstances. Mutable signs are known for their ability to go with the flow and adapt to different situations.
I see that in you.
Yes.
So much, G.
Yeah.
Because you're like, it's okay. Because I'm like, oh God, what's happening? And you're like, it's all right. Let's just do this. It's okay. You know, like when we were in the trip last year at Sedona and Kristen's going, we got to do this. Let's go do this. Let's go do this. And I was like, I need to mentally prepare for, I'm okay with change, but I'm not good with the spontaneity. So you're pulling in. So when you pay attention to your major signs, right? Like your zodiac, my major one, my sun sign is Libra, but I also have the qualities of being that air element. And I also have the qualities of being the cardinal sign. So I have all these different aspects, which sometimes can be conflicting, by the way, and mm-hmm. make you feel like you have multiple personalities, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But it really does help to look a little bit deeper than just your sun sign. Because a lot of people will be like, you know, my sun sign is this, but it doesn't really fit. It's not – I have some of the characteristics, but it's not – and we'll explain why. But – As we conclude this section talking about the different qualities or modalities, whatever you choose to call it, each one brings strengths and challenges to the zodiac signs that it encompasses. And they influence their approach and how we influence our approach to life, our relationships, our personal growth. And understanding these qualities can actually provide deeper insights into the dynamics between different signs and how they interact with the world around them.
It's really good to know, especially especially your partners and relationships, friendships, and
it can help you navigate them a little bit too. Yeah.
You know what? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kristen.
I was gonna say, and it kind of help you sometimes be more sympathetic to yourself when you have qualities about you that you're like, oh, I kind of wish I was a little different with this, you know. But it's like, well, it's part of my makeup. I have this for a reason. This can be a strength.
And also, all these characteristics, just because you're born with these certain placements does not mean that you're stuck with these types of characteristics. Yeah. You have the ability to grow and to change your characteristics. This is kind of what you came into this life with based on the time and place that you were born.
Okay. In astrology, the sign's placements in a birth chart can offer insights into your personality, your preferences, and your life experiences. Understanding the symbolism and significance of each sign provides a framework for self-reflection, interpersonal dynamics, and personal growth. Whether you're an adventurous Aries, a nurturing Cancer, or a visionary Aquarius, exploring the traits and characteristics associated with your zodiac sign can deepen your understanding of yourself and those around you.
So true.
So the best time, or one of the best times to dive deep into your natal chart or your birth chart, is when you're beginning your spiritual journey.
Yes.
Yes.
Or when you feel stuck in your spiritual journey. Because it really forces you to look at yourself in a more objective viewpoint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's some things about ourselves that maybe we don't want to admit, but when it's written in the literal stars, it's kind of hard to.
Yep. Yeah, I see where this is from.
Yep. This is you, boo boo.
Yeah.
This is you.
So when you are beginning your spiritual journey, or you know, like, not, it doesn't have to be the very beginning, obviously, but when you're feeling like, I still need to explore this, I'm not really sure, or you feel a little bit lost, man, birth charts are the way to go. They are a great place to start.
Good open door for you too, to start. Yeah.
I also like that you said, you know, you don't have to stay that, you know, always stay that way. That's like something you can grow from, because I noticed as I've aged, some of that Aries fire has been tamed a little bit more. You know,
or maybe redirected.
And it can be redirected,
Right? You know, because that enthusiasm has gone. Because I think sometimes people who are fiery or have a fiery chart, right?
Yeah.
They don't know that they can use that to their benefit. And usually the immediate reaction is to use it with aggression or anger.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And when you start to learn that you can harness that energy in a different way, that's more productive and more in the realm of growing and becoming greater than you were yesterday, like I believe all of us should work towards.
Yeah.
Not that everybody is a horrible person yesterday. I don't mean
no,
that.
No, but it's.
Don't be offended. But I think we always have.
Yeah,
I think we always have opportunities for growth. And it's definitely, you're not stuck. So when you hear people go, oh, you know, well, what can I do? It's in my chart. Well, you're not stuck there. That's just how you came.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true, because I used to be very blunt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, Aries are known for just being super blunt. Like,
you said used to be?
I'm not as blunt as I used to. I have to really think about it. Like, it's very hard, actually.
Well, see, I'm same like that. I've always been scolded by my family.
Yeah.
Think before you speak. Think before, and watch your tone, blah, blah, blah. But see, I have Aries as my rising sign. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll explain what that means, but you'll understand it a little bit more.
But and it's something you're like, okay, I just have to be conscious of this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't have any Aries in my stuff. I have Leo, but that's another story. Well, speaking of birth charts, also known as natal charts, are a fundamental tool in astrology that maps the position of celestial bodies at the exact moment of your birth.
Yes.
These charts serve as a unique cosmic snapshots, providing insights into your personality, strengths, challenges, and life path.
Yeah. And to create a birth chart, an astrologer requires the exact date, time, and birth of your location. However, if you don't know the exact date, if you don't know the exact time, you can still have a general idea of what your chart will look like. So don't worry if you don't know the exact time. Yeah. Using this information, they can calculate and plot the positions of the sun, the moon, planets, and other celestial bodies onto a circular chart that's divided into 12 segments. And each of those segments is representing a zodiac sign.
Yeah. So there are some key components to your birth chart. And the first one is your sun sign, like we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the position of the sun at the time of birth, representing one's core identity, ego, and sense of self. The sun sign is commonly associated with traits and characteristics often expressed outwardly. This is the most widely known sign in a person's chart, but it's just a fraction of the knowledge available to you.
Yes. Yep.
That's what everyone goes through. I'm going to look up my horoscope. That's your sun sign.
It's only your sun.
That's just your sun.
Yeah. But there's also the moon sign, the position of the moon at the time of birth, indicating one's emotional nature, instincts, and inner world. The moon sign reflects on how a person processes emotion and experiences on a deeper subconscious level.
Yes. So, ladies, what are your moon signs?
Libra.
I'm a Leo.
Oh, I'm a Pisces.
Oh, Leo fire, Pisces water, and a Libra air.
Ooh, we're all over the place. Yeah, I think we do that a lot. I don't think we really sync up.
We balance each other's out.
Yeah. So there's also the ascendant sign, also known as the rising sign. And this is the sign that's rising on the eastern horizon at the time of birth. And it influences one's outward demeanor, their physical appearance, and their first impressions. The ascendant sign represents the mask that we often wear in the world and how we approach new situations. And as I said, my rising sign is Aries. So a lot of people often think I'm way more like outgoing and like enthusiastic than I truly am, because that's actually my defense mechanism, my coping mechanism. I think like when I feel uncomfortable, I'm like super chatty and I want to like, oh my gosh, that's wonderful. That's amazing. Da-da-da-da. So everybody's always like, you're so outgoing. I'm too shy to be as outgoing as you are. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm like dying inside when I'm trying to go into Trader Joe's, because I'm like, oh, people, I have to deal with people.
I want to go home.
Yeah.
That's funny. So what are your rising signs?
Well, my rising is Gemini.
Ooh.
Kristen, yours is Aquarius.
Ooh. Ooh, so everyone sees an Aquarius. Aquarius is an air sign. Gemini is air sign as well.
And Nicole, Aries is fire.
Yeah, Nicole's is fire. So everyone sees you as a fiery person.
Ooh.
And we are all Aries.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding.
Of like the Taurus, and what did you say you are? A Pisces? Of like somebody you would meet? Like, so how exactly would people see you then?
Oh, no. Our rising sign, mine is Aries.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
what was yours, G?
Gemini.
Gemini, that's what it was. Sorry. Yeah. Gemini.
And Kristen, yours is Aquarius.
Aquarius. So I'm looking at the wrong
thing. And then I'm like, you just listed the moon ones.
I'm listening to other stuff.
The way that people would, how you would come across to is to people would be the traits of those signs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I have to look those up.
And you got to look them up, because there's like, there's a ton of information regarding each of the signs and what they represent and their characteristics and all that good stuff.
So what does it say?
So Aquarius is often seen as wild-eyed and outside of the norm, super colorful, unusual, and daring.
Yes.
I do like to like talk random strangers.
They're the humanitarian. That's what they are.
Aquarius are humanitarian, yeah.
They're also the aliens.
So, cool. Gemini, G, so for the rising sign for Gemini, extremely chatty, very friendly, always wanting to talk and exchange ideas, but always on the move, waiting for the next person to talk to. Like, okay, I'm done talking to you. Who am I going to talk to?
I do that a lot.
I know. I've seen it.
I'd be talking to someone, and there'd be someone passing by, hey, squirrel, I'd be talking to somebody else.
And they tend to be seen as whimsical and breezy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See? Okay. Air. Breezy.
You breezy, G.
Wait, I have to look up. See, I did all your guys' stuff, but psh, I didn't even do mine. So rising in Aries comes across as a bull at the gate and doesn't stop to think and suits anything red from clothes to cars. So, like, I'm perceived as someone who's constantly head
let's
first.
Go. Do, yeah. Let's go.
And blunt and talking too much and saying more than I should. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You're the first. You jump in first. I'll do it kind of thing.
Yeah, that's but why, then I go home Aries... and I go, fuck.
I do that too. What I'm always like, man, I shouldn't have said that. I really said way too much, you know?
Yeah.
So that's funny. Oh, another component of your birth chart is the planetary placements. So the position of other planets in the birth chart, such as Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto.
It sounds like everything.
Yes, everything. So the positions of all the planets and Pluto, which I guess is technically not a planet. It's a dwarf
planet.
That's
why it says celestial bodies and such.
That's true. Right. Well, yes. Okay. To me, it's always a planet because that's how I was taught.
We grew up saying
that. I can't go back on that. I'm like,
now it's not a planet. It's a rock. What is it?
I think they're thinking and it might be
a dwarf planet.
A rock? Yeah, a dwarf planet.
Yeah, because there's like other bodies in the Kuiper belt that are actually bigger than Pluto too.
Yeah. Wasn't there like a planet X at one point?
Is that so mathematically speaking, that planet is there. They just can't pick it up yet. But they're pretty sure it's there.
Yeah, there's one that has a like all water kind of thing.
I think they think that, yeah. That's pretty cool. So each planet symbolizes different areas of life and aspects of personality, contributing to the overall complexity of the chart. So there's so many aspects to this chart.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really got to study it.
Yeah.
Totally worth it.
Yes.
It is, very. So the planetarian placements. In astrology, the luminaries, like the moon and the sun, the planets play a crucial role in shaping our personalities, behaviors, and life events. We've already discussed the luminaries, so now we're on to the planets. Each planet represents different energies, archetypes, and aspects to our psyche, influencing various areas of life in unique ways.
Yes. So it's really interesting when you start to look at the planetary placements in your chart and what they represent and how the sign that the planet is in influences your personality in different ways. So, for example, Mercury is known to govern communication, intellect, and learning. And Mercury influences how we think, how we process information, and how we express ourselves verbally. It also represents logic, reasoning, and adaptability. And that's why, like, when Mercury goes into retrograde, all that goes to shit.
Yes.
We'll talk about retrogrades in a little bit.
In a bit, yeah.
So there's Venus, too. And Venus symbolizes love, relationships, and beauty. And it influences our values, aesthetic preferences, and social interactions. It governs our romantic desires, pleasures, and sense of harmony.
Mm-hmm. Our next planet is Mars, representing energy, action, and desire. Mars influences our drive, ambition, and assertiveness. It also governs our ability to take initiative, pursue goals, and assert ourselves.
Yeah, Mars is actually how you can find out like how you address fights, usually, right?
Mm. Yeah, Mars is the planet of war.
So whatever your Mars placement is can kind of like help you understand how you handle confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
It's also good if you look up your partners. I'm telling you, I learned a lot how to communicate with my husband by looking at our birth charts and even my kids, man. Mm-hmm. Not going to lie. I learned, okay, this is not going to work for, you know, they feel like attacked or they this, blah, blah, blah. So this is good. The birth charts is like a wealth of information, guys.
It is.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So when it comes to Jupiter, Jupiter symbolizes expansion, growth, and abundance. And Jupiter influences our optimism, our beliefs, and our opportunities for growth. It also governs luck, wisdom, and our quest for higher meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturn governs responsibility, discipline, and structure. It influences our sense of duty, limitations, and lessons in life. It represents perseverance, maturity, and the need for boundaries. I always thought Saturn was like, get to work, right? And that kind of part of it. responsibility, discipline.
Yeah. Your discipline and your structure, yeah. And that sense of duty, it really has to do, I think Saturn is the career planet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Who gave me this one?
It's Uranus. Just the look of the jaw. It's Uranus. Yeah. You can say your anus.
Your anus.
Say it for all the kids who would love to hear that. Uranus.
You guys gonna laugh now. Uranus. How about how you say it correctly?
Uranus.
Uranus? Uranus? Like urine?
Yeah. Well, see, pick your poison.
Your anus? Uranus. Okay, here we go.
Or it could be Uranus.
Uranus? Uranus?
Uranus. No.
No, yeah, I don't like that.
I'm just going to say Uranus. You can do all this in here.
Didn't they teach us more of it being Uranus when we were younger?
No, they made a point when I was in school, which was around the same time you guys were.
Or maybe I just like blocked out the normal pronunciation.
We just all laughed.
Yeah.
So like, I had a presentation
on
Uranus, and I was lectured deeply about how
to say it.
How to say it. So
probably because you kept saying it the other way.
Well, because when you read it, it looks like Uranus.
Uranus, it does. So Uranus symbolizes change, innovation, and liberation.
Sorry, I just heard liberate Uranus. Oh my gosh.
You gotta clean out your blockages there.
Are we grown ass women?
We are, but we love it. You guys are laughing anyways. Don't lie. You like it.
It's funny.
Okay, Uranus influences our individuality, originality, and desire for and a desire for freedom. It governs breakthroughs, rebellion, and unconventional thinking.
Yes. That's absolutely right.
Sorry.
Next, we're going to talk about Neptune. And Neptune represents dreams, illusions, and spirituality. Neptune influences our imagination, intuition, and connection to the divine. It governs creativity, compassion, and escapism.
Yeah.
Pluto symbolizes transformation, power, and regeneration. It also influences our deepest desires, fears, and experiences of change. It governs the process of death, rebirth, and psychological growth. Good job, Pluto.
Yeah, Pluto takes a while to come around.
Yeah, the further out you go, the longer it's in the most people's, like I think they're generational planets when you start to get further out. Yeah.
So when Pluto returns, which is Pluto returns, I think that was a whole Pluto, it's when Pluto returns, that means things restructure.
Oh, it's restructuring can be first
process death of
demolition.
Rebirth. So yeah, well, more of like.
Like where the comet killed all the dinosaurs?
No, not like that. Not like that. More.
Yeah, we're hoping not.
Like the government's kind of going to.
Yeah. The restructuring. Thing. Things are going to fall apart before they. It's like the tarot card, the tower.
Yeah.
You got to fall apart before you get rebuilt.
Okay, so in astrology, the houses represent different areas of life, each corresponding to specific themes and experiences. We will share a brief overview of the 12 houses and their meanings. And the first house, ascendant, represents the self, identity, physical appearance, and how others perceive us. It's associated with new beginnings, self-expression, and personal goals.
Right. And just so you know, not everyone has their first house in the same sign.
Yeah.
It all is dependent on your planetary placement. So the second house governs values, possessions, finances, and material resources, and it's related to money management, self-worth, and the pursuit of stability and security. Mm-hmm. Then the third house rules communication, intellect, learning, and siblings. It's associated with education, writing, short trips, and exchanging ideas.
The fourth house represents home, family, roots, and emotional security. It relates to ancestry, childhood, domestic life, and the foundations of our being. So this one sounds a lot like
Cancer.
Your root chakra.
Oh.
That too, sure.
Yeah.
Well, because each of the houses are like kind of had the placement already of certain zodiac signs. Mm-hmm.
But it's
so like the first house is like Aries kind of, and the second house is what comes after Aries.
Okay.
Taurus.
Yeah.
Then third house is like Gemini. Communication. Fourth house is like Cancer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do they have anything to do with chakras at all? Because to me, that almost sounds like your root chakra.
That's a great question. That's worth looking into.
Yeah.
Because they say the placement of everything affects us too. So like, when the planets are in a different position, they affect us. When different ones are in retrograde,
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought. Okay. So the fifth house governs creativity, self-expression, romance, children, leisure studies. Again, sounds like the sacral chakra. It's associated with hobbies, artistic pursuits, love affairs, and taking risks. Love affairs. It's interesting.
I'm going to check my
You got to get affair. Creative, yeah. I think, when you... when you're having an affair.
I guess so. Uh-oh, so when you date someone, you better make sure they don't have something in their fifth house.
Well, you want them to have something in their fifth house because that includes children and romance.
Something in their fifth house that would affect them to have, more love concerned. Affairs. Yeah, I'm kidding, but yes.
I'd be more concerned if they had something in Uranus.
That's true, but if you're with them, I guess you'd prefer your own than someone else's. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Keep it in the house, not someone else's house. I don't
know. Okay.
I'm done.
Okay. So our sixth house rules health, work, service, routines, and daily habits. It's related to job satisfaction, wellness, practices. Sorry.
Wait, did you say satisfaction?
What?
Satisfaction.
I was going to say satisfaction.
We should start doing.
Today's not working.
When G does words like that, we should start writing them down and making its definition.
No, you know why? Because I have another group of friends I do the same thing. I make up my own words for some reason. I don't know.
No, we need to make that. G's dictionary.
Now, forever, satisfaction is satisfaction.
I love it.
Okay.
Wait. Choking.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you when you were talking.
No, it's fine. You're fine. Satisfaction. It's related to jobs.
I think that's the best one.
What?
It is?
I know. We got to keep going. It's after 9:30.
All right, I'm muting.
It's related to job satisfaction, wellness practices, productivity, and maintaining order. I can see your head bobbing up and down. I'm laughing. And maintaining order in our lives.
Abso-frickin-lutely.
Oh, that was hard. Okay. The seventh house represents partnerships, relationships, marriage, and enemies. It's associated with collaboration, compromise, legal matters, and one-on-one interactions.
That's right. And then the eighth house governs transformation, shared resources, intimacy, and the occult. It's related to deep connections, psychological insights, inheritance, and profound change. Whereas the ninth house rules higher education, philosophy, travel, spirituality, and expansion of the mind. It's associated with beliefs, cultural experiences, long-distance journeys, and seeking meaning.
So the 10th house represents your career, public image, reputation, and ambitions. It's related to professional achievements, social status, authority figures, and long-term goals. Ooh, I don't know why, but I really want to find out what that is for me. It's also called the Midhaven. The 11th house governs friendships, groups, social networks, and aspirations. Yeah, it includes community involvement, teamwork, innovation, and collective goals. Ooh, that would be another one I'd want to know.
And the 12th house rules spirituality, hidden matters, solitude, and the subconscious mind. It is related to introspection, karma, seclusion, and self-sacrifice.
Ooh, yes. That's another interesting one.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all really good ones to explore and find out a little bit more once you have your own birth chart.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to discuss the aspects of a birth chart. Astrological aspects are like different connections between the planets in a birth chart, and each shaping our personality and life experiences in unique ways. And here's just a quick rundown. A conjunction in a birth chart is when two planets are super close, mixing their energies. Think of it as a powerful team up that can amplify their effects for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm. We always hope it's for better. So an opposition is when planets are on opposite sides of the chart, pulling us in different directions and creating tension that we need to balance, kind of like a tug of war. So a square is a challenging angle that can create friction and obstacles, pushing us to grow by forcing us to deal with conflicts. So yep. Square and opposition are kind of similar, right? Similar that they cause tension and, pushing. You know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a trine is a friendly angle where energies flow smoothly, giving us natural talents and easy success. A sextile is also positive, offering helpful nudges towards personal growth and better cooperation with others.
And lastly is the quincunx. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. It's an awkward angle, just like it's an awkward word,
yeah.
that mm-hmm. can make us feel like we need to make adjustments as things just don't line up comfortably. Understanding these aspects can really help you navigate your life's ups and downs more effectively.
So there are also angles in a birth chart, and they mark the four cardinal points and hold significant meaning in astrology. They represent key aspects of an individual's identity, relationships, career, and home life. So here's an explanation of each angle.
Yep. The ascendant, which is the rising sign, is the zodiac sign that was rising on the eastern horizon at the time of an individual's birth. It represents the individual's outward personality, demeanor, and how they present themselves to the world. The ascendant influences the individual's first impression, physical appearance, and approach to life. It also sets the tone for the rest of the birth chart. It plays a crucial role defining the individual's overall personality.
We did discuss the rising sign a little bit earlier, but we wanted to give you a little bit more in-depth information. And now we also want to share with you what the descendant is, and that's the point directly opposite of the ascendant, and it marks the western horizon in the birth chart. It represents the qualities that we seek in others, particularly in close relationships and partnerships. The descendant influences our approach to relationships, marriage, and how we interact with others one-on-one. Mm-hmm. It also reflects the qualities we admire, value, and are drawn to in others, and the traits that we seek to balance within ourselves through our relationships.
It's another really interesting one.
Yeah. They're all really interesting.
I know, but some of them just
they're really good.
Out. Oh, and I'm the mid-heaven, I guess you'd say it, right? Midheaven. So the midheaven is the highest point in the birth chart, located at the top of the chart and representing the zenith or culmination of the individual's aspirations, achievements, and public image. It reflects our career path, ambitions, reputation, and societal standing. The midheaven influences our professional goals, public persona, and the legacy that we aim to leave. It's associated with our role in the public sphere and our contribution to society.
So do you guys know your midheaven? I know we've...
I forget.
Pisces. Gee, yours is Pisces.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Kristen, yours is Sagittarius. Ooh, so Pisces is super spiritual.
Yeah.
Sagittarius is... Hold on, you know what? I think I have a page.
So Gee, do you have a lot of Pisces in your chart?
I have...
You have at least a couple.
Yeah, I do. I have a lot of Cancer, too. So Cancer also is...
We are family.
I have only one Scorpio.
Do you have any Aries?
What are you trying to say?
I was about to say, I don't know. I don't know if I feel like you have any Aries.
So I'm really... So I have 5 masculine, 5 feminine, 4 cardinal, 3 fixed, 3 mutable. So which is 3 fire, 2 earth, 2 air, and 3 water.
So maybe mine that said 17 was kind of different because those numbers don't quite add up, I don't think.
Oh, kind of even.
Yeah, you know. You're very even.
My midheaven is Capricorn.
Hmm.
Very goal-oriented and structured, tends to be.
That makes sense.
What about Kristen? What was Kristen's one? Oh, Sagittarius. You are most likely fear and easier when it comes to your career. You are more likely to take a self-employment route.
Yep.
Who's that for?
I've always said Kristen? I don't know, think I could work
Kristen.
For anybody else.
Yeah.
I didn't like when I was at work.
What did I say? Mine was Capricorn.
Yours Capricorn, yeah.
Mine says an excellent placement because Capricorn is nothing if not ambitious and ready to work hard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So our next one will be E.M. Coeli.
Coeli.
Coeli. Or IC is directly opposite of the midheaven and marks the lowest point in the birth chart, representing the nadir or foundation of the individual life. It reflects our roots, family background, home life, and emotional foundation. The IC influence our sense of security, belonging, and connection to our heritage and ancestry. It's associated with our private life, innermost feelings, and the place we call home.
So now let's talk about those retrogrades. Planetary retrogrades are periods when a planet appears to move backward in its orbit from the perspective of Earth. Mm-hmm. While it's just an optical illusion, it's caused by the differences in the orbital speeds of Earth and the other planets. Astrologically, retrogrades are believed to significantly affect human experiences and individual lives.
During a planetary retrograde, the energy associated with that planet is thought to become more introspective, internalized, or disruptive. Different planets govern various aspects of life, so each retrograde can manifest in distinct ways.
Yep. So everyone knows, like, the Mercury retrograde, the planet of communication, intellect, and travel, governs how we think, process information, and interact with others. During Mercury retrograde periods, which occurs about 3 times a year for several weeks, oh my gosh, at a time, communication may become more challenging, which is why I have a hard time, because I am Mercury, that's Virgo. Anyways, leading to misunderstanding, delays, and technological glitches. It's a time for reflection, revising plans, and being mindful of how we express ourselves.
Yeah, the Mercury retrograde is also why we had a little delay
in
the podcast.
Yeah, so yeah. It's causing us glitches and technology issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then there's also Venus retrograde, and Venus rules love, relationships, beauty, and values. When Venus goes retrograde, which happens approximately every 18 months for about 6 weeks, it can bring up issues related to love, self-worth, and finances. Mm-hmm. Relationships may be reassessed, old flames may resurface, and financial matters may require careful review. It's a period for reevaluating what we truly value and finding balance in our relationships and our finances.
Mm-hmm. So Mars retrograde is next. And Mars governs energy, action, and desire. When Mars is in retrograde, which occurs roughly every 2 years for about 2 months, our motivation and assertiveness may wane. It's a time to reflect on our goals, reassess our approach to conflict, and avoid impulsive actions. Projects may stall and frustrations may arise. Still, it's an opportunity to channel our energy into inner reflection and strategic planning. It almost reminds me of like a forced rest or something, to just kind of, like it says, take it in, rest, reassess, look at where you are.
Yeah, and that's why we should never really just look at retrogrades as negative things.
Yeah. So Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto retrogrades. So these outer planets have longer retrograde periods, ranging from several months to almost half of the year. Their retrogrades may be less noticeable daily, but can still influence collective and societal dynamics. Jupiter's retrograde may prompt us to reevaluate our beliefs and expand our horizon, as Saturn's retrograde may highlight areas where we must take responsibilities and commit to longer-term goals. Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto's retrogrades can bring about more profound transformation, upheavals, and awakenings on both personal and collective levels.
Yes. And while retrogrades are often associated with challenges and disruptions, they also offer opportunity for introspection, growth, and realignment. And by embracing the energies of the retrograde periods and practicing patience, adaptability, and self-reflection, we can navigate these cosmic cycles with greater ease and wisdom and take advantage of their energies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe when Mercury goes in retrograde and it disrupts communication, that might mean we need to be to ourselves.
Take a break.
Not communicate as much.
Yeah.
So another part of your birth chart is lunar nodes. In lunar nodes, also known as the North Node and South Node, are points in space where the moon's orbit intersects, also known as the ecliptic, the sun's apparent path around the Earth. In astrology, the lunar nodes hold significant symbolic meaning. They are considered key points in understanding your life path, karmic lessons, and evolutionary journey. They're very important.
Mm-hmm. So then the north node represents where the moon's orbit intersects the ecliptic, moving from south to north. It's often associated with your soul's purpose, growth, and aspiration. The north node indicates the qualities, experiences, and lessons you are meant to develop and integrate in this life. It represents areas of growth, expansion, and fulfillment, as well as path towards realizing one's highest potential and destiny. Simply put, your north node tells you what you're meant to work towards in this lifetime. Your true north.
Yep. Yeah. On the opposite end, the south node represents where the moon's orbit intersects the ecliptic, moving from north to south. It's associated with the individual's past experiences, patterns, and karmic tendencies from previous lifetimes. And the south node represents comfort zones, familiar patterns, and unconscious behaviors that may hinder personal growth and evolution. It indicates areas of release, surrender, and letting go of old habits or attachments that no longer serve the individual's highest good. So, your south node tells you what you've already accomplished and learned in past lives.
Hmm.
Ladies, do you know your north and south nodes?
Yep. My north node is Libra. And then my past life was Aries.
Ooh.
No, yeah, I just checked it.
Is that the only Aries you have?
That's my soft node.
I mean, yeah, so you came. No wonder why you don't have Aries. You had enough Aries in your past life.
I did.
So your south node is Aries and your north node is Libra.
Yeah.
How about you, Kristen?
My south is Scorpio and my north is Taurus.
Oh. Oh,
yeah. So again, our south nodes is where we feel comfortable.
Yeah.
That's like our familiar space that we probably really focused on as young people. And as we mature, we move more into our north node, hopefully, if we work towards that, right?
Taurus loves food.
I do love some food.
Taurus.
You guys Taurus know I gotta eat. Food. I gotta eat every hour and a half. But see, when I was a kid, they used to call me Mangione in Italian, which means big eater, because I would eat constantly. I've always loved my food.
How about you, Nicole?
Like
My south node is Pisces. That's why I'm so comfortable in spirituality and stuff.
Yeah.
And my north node is Virgo.
Yeah.
That's what me and G gotta help each other.
Yeah.
Because I'm supposed to help her be more Libra, and I'm helping.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you be more Libra. You're helping me be more Virgo.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I like that.
Fascinating.
So you both were Pisces in the past? No, you were Aries in the past. You were Pisces.
G was Aries. I was Pisces. You were Scorpio. And now we're supposed to be, I'm supposed to be Virgo, G's supposed to be Libra, and you're supposed to be Taurus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I got to look that up. I got to read all about that.
Well, I know for Virgo North Node, I'm supposed to work towards, and this, I've been a stay-at-home mom most of my adult life.
Yeah.
Virgo's all about daily tasks and routines,
I can't stand. I'm the same.
And acts of service, which I feel like my business and this podcast is a form of an act of service.
Yes.
So, yeah. But yeah, I'm still working towards getting used to routines and such. Although I love to schedule and plan stuff out, I don't necessarily want to stick to it.
Yeah.
I don't
I'm
like
very
when
conflicted.
Do you feel
I'm very
like
conflicted.
Do you not like if every day feels the same? That's what
no,
bothers
I do not.
Me. I can't.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I'm not into the 9-to-5 mentality or going into. I mean, I don't even like coming into the office I have in my house that often. I want to work outside or work in the kitchen or the TV room on the couch or in the living room or even in my car.
Yeah.
You know, I got to have that change.
Yes.
But on my terms.
Yeah, I was going to say, for me, it's like I want to do it when I feel like doing it. Like, that's when I want to do it. I don't want to be regimented. That's funny.
But I see my life. There's a lot of stuff happening right now. Like, the group sessions I'm doing is a routine each month. And the people in the group sessions want to have more, like, meetings, which is going to require me to have the same thing.
Yeah.
See? You know, same meeting
structure.
Every month. And, it's that structure is coming in. So, and it's me doing it as an act of service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
well, every month is different from every minute and every hour of every day.
Yeah. And I'm not talking about the same exact topic every time
we
meet.
Yeah, you change it.
And it's on my terms.
Right. That's kind of what I'm doing with my little group. I like to change it. I can't do the same thing. Even when I was a group exercise teacher, I would change my stuff every class, and I couldn't take it when I'd go to classes, and the teacher would do the same thing every day. And not that it's bad, but for me, I have to have that change. I have to have it mixed up. So there are some resources that we wanted to tell you guys about if you want to do your own birth chart. So I got some of mine off of Yasmin Boland's site. I believe it's yasminboland.com, and Nicole told me about this. There's also a book called Astrology Made Easy.
Also by Yasmin
Boland. Also by her.
She has actually a course that I took by the same name. She's actually pretty cool. You can get a free chart.
Yes.
Birth chart from her website.
And then there's Cafe Astrology, and you can go to astro.cafeastrology.com/natal.php.
Isn't that forward slash?
Oh, I don't know. I never know the difference if it's forward or back. It's a slash.
Yeah.
It's a slash.
It's a slash. It's try free. Either one. It'll probably pick it up. So.
All right. So we already talked about everything that's not really everything, though.
That's just scratching the surface.
Yes. So we talked about the zodiac signs, their qualities, the birth charts, the retrogrades. So much fun.
The nodes.
Mm-hmm. The midhaven. Heaven. Damn it.
It's the angles, the aspects. Yeah. All the things. So we'd love to hear your thoughts about your birth chart. Or just astrology in general. So how about you join our Facebook group, A Soul on a Voyage, and just be a part of the conversation. Let's talk about astrology. Let's hear what your sun sign, your moon sign, your rising sign, where's your...
What?
Uranus.
Uranus?
Where's your anus?
Let us know about that.
The planet.
Yeah.
Outfit. I swear we're not drinking tonight. No. I swear. But yeah. Visit us, join us on the Soul on a Voyage Facebook group. We'd love to have a chat with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you missed the last episode, make sure you go back and listen, because we discussed crystal healing and all the ins and outs of that as well. There was a lot in there. The colors, the molecular structures of crystals, different ways you can use them and clear them, how we use some of them. So go listen.
Yes.
It's a wealth of information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But stay tuned for our next episode. We'll be discussing numerology. And we're going to teach you how to get your numbers.
That's a good one.
Life path numbers.
Yeah.
We might even talk about angel numbers.
Mm-hmm. All things numbers.
How much we can fit into one podcast.
Anything that has to do with a number, we're going to try to put that in. Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining us today at the Spiritual Rabbit Hole. And remember, your time with us doesn't have to end here.
Subscribe to our soulonavoyage.com website for more spiritual resources and services. And remember our Soul on a Voyage Facebook group.
Yep. Stay updated on all we have to offer by following us on Instagram at Soul on a Voyage. Thanks for being part of our spiritual community. Love ya.
Bye for now.
Peace out.